You're now listening to Sound Talent Media. Check out more shows at soundtalentmedia.com.
Break it down, Dada.
Break it down, oh, break it down. Break it down, oh, break it down. Break it down, oh, break it down. Break it down, oh, break it down.
Like Matt Carter.
Yeah. Okay, everybody, welcome back to the podcast. You are now riding down the road with Emery in our rental van going across Texas, just past Waco on our way to Dallas from our show last night in Mission, Texas. We had played a big festival with the Deftones and Beartooth and a bunch of other bands. And so to start, I would want to know, did you guys, how much did you enjoy our time yesterday?
Well, Matt,
did you enjoy it? Was it fun?
Yes, it was fun all the entire time until the actual show. And then our show got cut very short. We were planning on playing about 30 minutes at least. And usually you can maybe even go over a hair, but our set got cut down to four songs. We played four songs.
They said three, and we squeezed in the fourth.
Balls to the wall, hardcore with four. No way, because we've never not played Walls. There's never been one time in Emery's entire career that we haven't played Walls.
Dave, did you have fun just being at the festival, watching the Deftones, hanging out in the field, eating some barbecue chicken?
Yeah.
What I'm looking for is we had some fun.
I had a lot of fun. Well, I don't understand Toby saying until we played, because you always talk about your dream is to tour and not play a show.
I know. I'm saying.
So you would think, I think that would be a bonus.
Because they didn't, we get there and we have a back line supposedly. When I'm on stage, all the guitar, we need two guitar heads and cabinets and a bass amp.
Yeah.
And none of that was there. There was one combo amp on stage with no distortion pedal. So I immediately was like, this is shitty. And I want to at least sound good. If I left my family, 39-year-old man leaves South Carolina. flies to Dallas, drives from Dallas all the way to Mission, Texas, 8 hours plus, and then the whole reason I'm there is to play this show, and then we don't even have an amp. What am I supposed to do?
No backline, yeah. Well, so I'm hoping that everybody could agree.
So eat shit, Dave. You're going to question me, I'll come at you. You're going to come at me, I'll come at you, bastard.
Well, I'm hoping everybody could say they did have a good time, because the next thing to point out then is, I hope you had a good time, because the show we played, it seems as if, as of right now, was for charity and for your own enjoyment, because there is no money to be paid. We were not paid for the show. So,
Matt, for the listeners at home, explain how that could possibly be. We're world-famous rock band Emery, who has worked very hard to perform at the highest levels and get paid decently well. We've done pretty good for ourselves. How can we not get paid?
Well, to talk about it at all, I find that the only way to do this would be to actually talk about real numbers and actually be completely legitimate and transparent here.
Hell yeah.
Which I had to admit, I get quite a kick out of doing anyway, because in general, people are always really guarded about their numbers, their salaries, and stuff like that. And I always just get a kick out of, you know, nobody's stopping me from saying what we get paid, what I'm worth, what this stuff is. So conventional wisdom says don't tell anybody what you're worth or your money and all that stuff. But I like throwing that out there. So we'll talk about all our specific numbers and break down actually how this works for a band on the road, flying in, doing festivals, and all that stuff. So Emery was contracted to play this festival for $5,000. which is a little bit low. It's lower than the threshold we ever take for a flyout gig because of what the expenses wind up being. On the other hand, I'm sure $5,000 sounds like a shitload of money to a lot of people. Like, I know a lot of bands would think that's a tremendous amount of money. So we have this festival and then 2 days off and then another festival in Dallas in a couple of days that pays $5,000 and something dollars. So the trip down to Missions costs us all of our expenses plus 3 days before we have to be anywhere. So 3 days of travel, hotels, all that kind of stuff.
So flights, rental cars.
Right. So we'll go down. So we'll do the expenses on this. But we'll get back to it. But this is you know, end of the day, what happened is the festival was poorly organized, poorly run, backline problems. Beartooth had to play on a weird stage and only played three songs.
They got the shaft.
They got it the worst. And we got to play four songs with no real backline. We just had to scrounge and borrow stuff and use some piece together things during our 10-minute set change. So other than that, great time. Good. So this is what happened. There wasn't enough people there, and it appears that there's not enough money to go around. So we had to make some other speculations on what the Deftones are getting paid, etc. But I knew stuff was getting fishy when I went to go get our check after the show, and the girl was in there. There was a couple other people waiting to get paid, and she said, well, they had to settle merch first, which is a bad sign because that means that they're trying to just to settle the merch. They're needing that cash or something, even though they're going to raise a check. So why would it matter that they're going to settle the merch first or whatever? So that's a bad sign. I said, okay, well, I'll be back at this time to get the check in 30 minutes. Okay. Came back. They said, no, come back in a little bit. We're trying to get all the checks. You know, starting to get fishy. More and more tour managers lining up. We didn't even bring a tour manager. We just have the five of us on tour with us at the moment. And so we go back in there, and everybody's waiting, and the girl that was going to go get the checks comes back and said she heard something about they wanted to wire the money. And at that point, I knew. I said, all right, this is big trouble here because that's just not how it works. You don't leave without the money itself. And so eventually, the promoter people came in there, and they told us that they ran out of checks. They said and I said, what do you mean? Like, you just didn't have enough checks in your checkbook before you left the house? And they're like, yeah. We don't have enough checks. Don't worry, we're going to wire the money. So then everybody starts to get agitated. It starts to get to be a pretty tense scene because you have all these tour managers, quite tense. And so everybody starts to figure out.
You're our tour manager.
I ain't no tour manager either. But I start to figure that there's obviously trouble with the money and stuff. So all the tour managers are piled up in the room. And they say there's some hang-ups in the getting paid and the tickets clearing from the box office and the online, so they're going to wire us the money next week. And that means that they don't have the money. So we pinned them down, forced them to talk about it, tried to get them to talk about it. It wound up being, out of all the people there, me and the Devil Wears Prada tour manager became the vocal ones, or the people using logic and trying to speak and go in and try to find out and sort through it. But they were pretty much non-responsive. But they wound up telling us they sold about 1,500 tickets pre-sale, and there was some walk-up. So what do you think? It was a couple thousand people there, tops.
Tops.
Maybe they had a few hundred walk-up. And so, I pulled out a calculator and said, what do these people pay? $55 times 1,500 people. That's $82,000.
So were tickets $55?
$55. They had some special ones that were $100.
The cheapest ones were $55. Yeah.
So it was about $82,000 at least that they brought in. But they had all those stages, all that sound equipment, all the lights, all the catering. And then, you start going in reverse order. Like, what do you think the Deftones got paid? And then Devil Wears Prada and so forth. So I don't really know, but I can only speculate. I believe that the Deftones probably got paid somewhere between $50,000 and $100,000+. That's a guess. I have no idea. I could be way wrong about that.
But they deserve every penny.
Well, they probably do, but there's no chance that their money wasn't north of $50,000.
Right.
I would guess it probably was around $80,000 or $100,000 to get the Deftones to come out and do a festival, a band that size and with what they're doing now, new record and on the radio and stuff like that. So at that point, you can just, everybody knows there's not enough money, so everybody starts calling the booking agents, and everybody has the booking agents and the managers, and it's a funny situation because all you can do is act like you are a mean, tough person that would beat somebody up if you don't give me money right now.
So funny.
And which doesn't really work. The worst.
Like, it comes down to just like you have to go back to some kind of mafia brute force.
Right.
Like, I'm gonna rough you up.
Well, that's what tour managers say. They say I'm not that way, and I don't do that. I just went at them a bunch of logical ways and tried to get information out of them, which it all points to the fact they don't have any money. But the other tour managers are, they just turn into like, well, I will get my. I mean, every one of them stated super strongly they were getting paid, and I was like, no, y'all aren't. Definitely not gonna get paid. And so we went there, and so I hope you guys enjoyed the Deftones set. I heard some of the songs, but I was really bummed on
that's
it.
That's the worst part.
Well, Deftones has been like my favorite band, one of my favorite bands forever. So I've been kind of looking forward to getting to do this
and all
see
the stuff
them.
You did. didn't do anything. It I mean, didn't you had a anyway. Little bit of information, but I mean, you would have gotten yep. that anyway.
Yeah.
I mean,
yeah, it wouldn't have mattered anyway. So I got to overhear some of the songs and during the Deftones set, and so there you go. So we didn't get paid, and as of now, I don't believe at all that we will. They say they're going to wire some money next week, but pretty simply, you can tell the money's not there. So unless these people come out of pocket, trust fund, who knows? I bet there's no reason to believe that they will. Now, our agent manager said, well, don't worry about it. We'll sort it out. We'll get the money, which is really what makes this whole thing tough is we didn't get a deposit for this festival, which I right. thought we did. And we were supposed to, and they said that they didn't. They trusted the people or whatever. So we flew down here, spent all these expenses on our own money so far, and are gone another 2 days before we even have another show.
Right.
And, you know, it looks like we're spending many, many thousands. I've got the total here. We'll talk about how much money we've spent.
Oh, God, I don't even want to hear it.
So not only did we not make, like, the whole thing is there's a swing here where we thought we were going to earn $5,000, and now not only do we not earn the money that we were counting on and blocked out our week to go travel, but we also lost the money we've spent, assuming we don't get paid. And I'll be glad to update everybody if we wind up getting paid in the future. I'd be happy to be wrong about this, but it seems as if not. So I've got us down right now with about $2,000 of flights, $350 of hotels for the three or four days here. Rental car was about $300. Our fuel for the car is about $100. Our food, we spent about $300 so far on food and beer. $150 on some gear, supplies, tuner, batteries, stuff like that. $150 in baggage fee. Now, the luckiest bastard of all is Andy, our for-hire day-rate bass player, who's going to make $750 this week. He's guaranteed either way. And so that equals...
That just makes me sick to know that part.
Yeah, that's the tough part about it.
And they're charging you for years.
So we're up to $4,000.
We only played four songs,
expenses.
And you know how many wrong bass notes I heard?
I know.
Do I not get to at least deduct?
I had to play through a DI box, man.
Do I not get to deduct for wrong bass notes?
That's
got a point. You're training to be an electrician?
I'm actually training to be an engine.
You're going
to
be an electrician.
He's going to become an engine.
If you couldn't chop a board in half, don't they deduct something? Isn't there some kind of penalty?
I'm not
sorry, Matt, to interrupt. I'm just mad.
No, that's all right. Well, you should be mad because we're not getting our $5,000, and so far we spent about $4,000 out of our Emory's bank account, which we keep.
Shit.
We keep several thousand dollars in our bank account.
Damn it! To
get to tours and stuff like this, and so we've spent $4,000, and we're not getting that $5,000.
What makes me mad I saw Josh. He sold a shitload of weed.
Yeah.
At the festival, and he's probably doing great. Josh, how much weed
fine.
Did you sell?
Yeah, Josh is fine.
Well, to the Prada, sorry, I don't want to name any band names. $65 so far.
It's pretty good, though.
It's great, man.
So the only thing I can say at the end of the night is I looked at the guy in front of all the other people and said, listen, you got to understand, and this is what I really feel about it. It's like, I'm not going to be a violent. I'm not going to be mean. I'm leaving. I was the first person to leave. I don't know how long they stayed and argued, and I don't know if the Deftones got paid either. We left before they even finished at that point. But I looked at the guy and said, well, this is why this is so shitty. We have our five guys down here. We're here for several days. It's expensive to get down here. We've paid money to be here, and this is what we've all chosen to do with our hours and hours and days this week. We're not, and this is where I think it's interesting to talk about, is we're not a new band trying to make it, lucky to pay the festival that got stiffed $400, and we're not the big band that was supposed to get $100,000 and may come up short somehow, but we have a bunch of lawyers and whatever, you know. So we've got these five guys, and we have eight kids between us, and Toby turns 40 next week. Like, that, right. That's who we are.
Seriously.
And we're down
terrible.
Here.
If I make it.
That's what makes it so absurd. And so my question is, who do you think, let's assume no bands get paid, although I'm sure the Deftones will get paid some of their money, if not all. And they totally should before we get paid. I do believe that. I guess that's what I want to talk about. Who should get paid if there's some money? I mean, what about the other bands were there, and they're saying, look, man, we don't have enough money to get to the next show. So they're like these 22-year-old young bands, and we're supposed to get $300, man. And one band drove all the way down and didn't even get to play. They drove 20 hours.
But they were
probably supposed to get $400, but they didn't get to play, or they're getting to get paid because the festival ran so poorly.
Right.
So who gets it the worst? What if the Deftones are shorted $30,000? is that worse? Or the band that doesn't get 300, or should we get paid? I mean, how do you think that money should go around?
Yeah, I don't know. One thing I was thinking is, like, looking at Def Wears Prada set and then, obviously, Deftones, I don't know how much of their own, like, production and sound guys and people they are going to have to pay and bring.
Yeah, they had tons of baggage and buses and crew and all that. We didn't have that stuff.
So I literally do wonder, like, I mean, when they take a hit, it like us, if we don't get paid our money, it really sucks and it's devastating. And I'm almost 40 years old, away from my family for a week for literally no reason. I'm glad that some of our fans got to see us. I'm happy that, but they only got to see four songs.
Yeah.
So I in a sense, I wish we wouldn't have done anything. That they wouldn't have paid money.
It might not have been our best performance either.
Right? Yeah. Exactly. Exactly.
What?
And I just think, well, for us, okay, we're in this situation. But then when I think about something like, you know, like Devil Wears Prada or Deftones, if they get a ton of money cut, like
that's kind of worse.
I mean, yeah, it's way worse.
Yeah.
I mean, the amount of money that they lose percentage wise compared to us is way more.
But what? But they're rich. They have all this stuff.
Rich. They get. I mean, they might be rich, but that doesn't mean they shouldn't get their money.
What about the little tour manager beside me who was just freaking out? He's going to get his $400. Do you feel bad for them?
Not really, because that's the part of the game when you're a smaller band. It just, yeah, I mean, you do get kind of shit on.
So would you put all the money towards Deftones before it filtered down anywhere else? To be just ethically. I think
it may have brought the most people, right? I mean, the most people standing there and everything.
Of course.
But there's a lot of bands that sold tickets and stuff. I don't know if they even got paid or not. I was talking to a few more local bands that sold tickets to get people to come and this and that. But it's just, it's really, to me, the thing is, the right way would be to split the money all between everybody, but not everybody brought people or as many people or deserved it or whatever. So I don't know. Probably from the top down, Deftones should get more. Devil Wears Prada should get more. I hope we get a shitload of money, but I don't know if we will.
Yeah.
It's sad. It's really sad.
Yeah, it is really sad.
If we could end up getting more money, that would be great.
I hope that, like, the way I feel about it, it's like it's probably one of the worst things that's happened. Honestly, in America, I hope one day that there's a movie made of it and Steve Carell plays me. Because it feels like a recession or it feels like, you know, something bad in the housing markets. This is worse.
Yeah. This is The Big Short Part 2.
Yeah.
Like, so season one of The Big Short was the Wall Street thing. And
now it's just this festival.
The Emory. Yeah.
Just this festival.
The Emory when they got shorted back in 2016. Well, we've been shorted before, but, I mean, if we get none of this money, which common logic tells you you're not going to get. It just doesn't seem like we're going to get any. And I will be super happy to report if we do, and I certainly will.
We've been shorted
before, but never, never before have we lost that much money. We've taken reductions, and you know, we've had tour managers where you have to march the poor promoter to the ATM and withdraw or go get a check from his parents. I mean, we've seen everything like that happen,
totally.
But it's usually not for that much. I mean, it's never been for this much money, right?
Yeah. No, definitely not.
Also, any other time has usually been on tour, so if you spread out the
loss, that's true,
over the amount of days you're gone.
Yeah, that's a good point.
This is one lump sum we spent just to get down here. So
yeah, this is the only reason we're in South Texas at all was for this specific money, which is part of our... I mean, we only have a certain amount of days we can be gone and travel and tour, so very much also this cost us opportunity costs of other shows that we could have played for better crowds of people that wanted to see us where we could have gotten paid appropriately and done. So we chose this over some other opportunity, you know, very, very strictly, which makes it, I guess, worse. I don't know if there's any way to feel good about it.
We could have played a house show in Dallas.
I just don't understand. I mean, like, how would you feel? The worst person in the world has to feel... is Andy. What does he feel like when he takes his friend's money? Like, we hand him cash knowing that it's coming out of my kid's food fund.
The old day rate up here is going
to
get paid more than anybody.
My 2-year-old doesn't get to eat this week, but Andy, single Andy, is going to make hundreds of thousands of dollars mere days from now.
I have
when he graduates college.
Whatsoever.
Do what?
You know why? Because I've been undercharging you guys since 2011.
Shit.
You guys have been paying me.
What kind of car do you drive?
Put the microphone in your mouth, please.
Put the microphone to your mouth. Apparently you don't know. That's how good
of
a singer
basically. Dog.
What kind of car do you drive?
I've never said that before, I promise.
Andy, what kind of car do you drive?
I drive a 2007 Toyota Camry that is
Does it have what kind of seats? Fabric?
Okay, it might have leather. Might have leather.
Did you pay for that?
It might have a moonroof.
Did you pay for that car?
I did not pay for
it. Who paid for it?
My dad.
So you All you do is take. It doesn't matter. Anybody above you, you take them.
I will accept
them.
A gift, certainly. But all I'm saying is that I've been undercharging y'all for years. You know, sometimes a day rate has its benefits.
I hope when you take that money, you hear my three-year-old's voice saying, "Dada, I'm hungry."
Yeah, Toby's not going to be able to buy his son a Toyota Camry because of this one day.
I'm glad that you'll get to drink more Miller High Life while my family starves.
This is kind of Andy's revenge in the sense that we did a breakdown of the acoustic tour previously, and we laughed about him making not very much money for that.
The only time the day rate has really helped me out was probably the most recent Australia trip. And this festival.
Yeah. So there's been
everything
at least
else,
two
I'd
times where you've made more money.
More.
Yeah. There's been at least two times where you've made more money than us. Anyway.
So I cannot let you make me feel guilty about it.
You made me sick. You should make yourself feel guilty. You should be ashamed of yourself.
Well, let's take another angle on it and let's discuss how do you feel in this case about, and let's explain how it works with the role of management and agent when a situation like this happens.
Right.
I call our agent last night while I text him and say, he texted me earlier in the day, "Everything good?" I say, "Yeah, man." And then later I say, "Hey, there's problems here. I don't know if there's any money. It looks like there's no money. Something. What do we do?" And I didn't hear anything back through this whole process.
Right.
And then he eventually calls me back and says, "Oh, hey, man, sorry. I was at the gym." So, no, I'm not throwing our manager agent under the bus, but I will discuss frankly how what that feels like. Is like, oh crap, I need help. I don't know what we're supposed to do.
Right.
We're not. I mean, is this okay or not? What's the deal here? Because that's what you think. You have this team in place, and oh, guess what? There's a contract. That's what everybody says. Well, there's a contract. The contract says you're supposed to give me $5,000.
Yeah.
And then as soon as something like this happens, it just doesn't seem to matter at all.
The contract thing, I don't think anybody understands it. That is a tool that management booking agents tell bands that's why you need them. They say, "Hey, we'll handle the contracts. We'll do this, you know." The thing is, they do not matter almost at all, unless you are a very giant band where it's serious and you have like serious lawyers and a team that will really ruin you or something like that. But for us, there is no way. If there is no money, we're not going to try and sue somebody. We can't. It would cost more money to sue them than anything.
Yeah,
and so it literally is just not true. A contract, it could have been written on toilet paper with a turd on it, and it would have meant the exact same amount. It would have meant the same thing.
Well, so the way that it works is the agent usually has a ton of leverage that works to your advantage, because any promoter that they deal with regularly is very dependent on the agent for shows and to have a good relationship, and so they can get future shows. And if you torch an agent or do something wrong, then you get in trouble in the long run, and therefore you don't want to harm the agent or go against this guy or that guy. And so in a case like this, you know, worst case scenario, they just don't ever get to do shows again. But it's not actually like we're going to use the contract and there'll be legal action, because it's not, the money's not worth it for the whatever the legal fee. There's nothing you can do. And so the agent says, "Sorry."
And that's just, it feels like that's just a moral victory, which I don't care about. I'd way rather get paid than, "Hey, somebody never got to book a show again. Who cares?"
So that's, you feel like you need the agents and the managers for just these situations, but I will have to report, it's just these situations when they are absolutely no help at all. I mean,
at least
that's the way I feel.
I mean, yeah, they can't be. I mean, there's not much.
Not their fault, although I think it is their fault in the sense that we didn't even collect a deposit, which we typically, for a flyout, would get 50% of the money up front. And the deal memo I had said that we had a deposit due on February 16th, and then I found out last night they never had collected it. So I am frustrated about that specifically, because that was the deal. I didn't even know that they didn't collect the deposit. But in this case, there's nothing that they can do to help me, except for they told me today, "Well, you know, we'll get it figured out next week, and we anticipate getting paid."
Right.
But that sounds like lip service to me at this moment. So, again,
yeah, well,
I'll be happy to report if it
doesn't.
Well,
the reason why that kind of is because there's no way of knowing.
Right.
I mean, like, we were there. You were in that room and saw they do not have it.
Sure.
So, I mean, there could be something amazing that happens next week. And like you said, it would be awesome if that's the case.
Yep.
The thing that gets me is the reason why they can say, like, "Oh, we'll get it handled, no big deal," because there is nothing on the line for them. at all. Like, it, we are the ones that will take the hit. They didn't travel. They weren't away. He was at his gym. Right. So the point is, like, I'm here. I'm living this right now. So the added pressure of that, of like, dang it, I got to call my wife, tell her that I'm away from my family for a week because of this thing I said would make money, and now it is not going to. Like,
yeah.
And there's nothing there. The agent or booking agents or management or whatever, whoever, they're at their house or their office going, well, that kind of sucks. I won't get my 10% or whatever, 15%, whatever it is.
Yeah.
And so even if we do get the money, like I said, this captures the real moment the day after the festival where we're just frustrated. So if nothing else, this is what this podcast is communicating, is the reality of being on the Interstate 35 here, knowing that every second this fuel, every mile that ticks off is just money literally out of our pocket as we go forward just to try to get to the next show, which I anticipate will be better and we will get paid. And that will help this whole trip get to essentially break even, because we got about, like I said, $4,000 worth of expenses, and we got another $5,000 or something dollars coming, and we have more expenses still to rack up with the food and hotels for the next few days. So with any luck, we'll break even on this trip and not actually lose money to be gone. You know, when you point out or talk about the difference in this and the acoustic shows that we've been doing lately, it sure is a world of difference in that we do those acoustic shows, and what something I'm very excited about is we booked them ourselves. There's no manager. There's no agents. We sell the tickets. We do all the work, and then we control all the money, and there's no guarantee whatsoever. We just get what we're worth. And so this kind of nonsense is the kind of stuff that doesn't even feel like is what I want to do in the future so much. What I'd like to do is just try to book clubs and book gigs ourselves and not even take guarantees, but literally, like, and in the long run, I don't want people to overpay us for what we're worth. I believe that if we sell the right amount of tickets, we should just get what we're worth. And whenever we take door deals like that and book our own shows, it turns out super good anyway. So,
yeah, doing it on your own, at least if we got screwed in this situation, part of me thinks, well, it's on, you know, it's on us. Okay, well, you know what I mean? Like, it's
but I mean, that, somebody lured, not, you know, essentially lured us to do all this stuff and come to this place for some large guarantee offer kind of thing. But if you said, hey, you can go play in South Texas,
oh, I see,
it costs $800 for the venue and right, $1,000 in these expenses, and you get to sell tickets at $25 for your fans to come to the show, well, we wouldn't have chosen to come down here, because it wouldn't have sounded like a good idea, and we wouldn't have thought we could come down here and get $5,000. So in a way, we shouldn't be down here, or nor should the Deftones, because literally the bands in that market on this day were not worth it. Like, if we all got together and said, what are we worth? The answer is, oh, not that much. So it's okay for the market force to tell us that's not somewhere we should have been on this date for that kind of money. So I'm okay with that, because when we do stuff and control it on our own, it actually works really, really well.
Yeah.
And it doesn't even involve an agent. I'm not anti-agent. Our agent's fine. It's
right.
No problem at all.
Right.
But it's maybe a shift in the way that I would hope to do stuff in the future. Cause
this stuff doesn't normally happen either. And I guess no matter what, we can't blame anybody but ourselves. We should have been probably more on top of, did we get a deposit? We should have been more on top of, hey, this sounds a little strange. Like, I literally, this was funny. 3 days before we flew, somebody posted an article about how this festival hadn't sold well, and it was probably, no matter what, going to be the last time this festival might have ever happened. And I was like, oh, that's kind of sad. Oh, well. And then
when you should have immediately said, hey, we got the deposit, right?
Yes.
That to our agent.
There's nobody I can blame more than myself. I mean, for sure. I mean, all the warning signs, like a news article from the place they're playing saying the festival has been going home for a long time might not be happening anymore because it's not doing that good. But also, part of me wonders, is it an Emory curse? Like, we played several festivals where that was it. Like, it was that festival happened.
Well, I think that's common with festivals. You know, they get bigger and bigger, and then they eventually bust. Like, it's kind of a, in the life cycle of a festival, that's what happens. They grow. They go, next year we get the bigger act and the more tickets and the bigger guarantee.
Right.
And eventually it's like, you know, it's a thing where, you know, gigantism, even in nature, usually precedes extinction, they would say. Like, the dinosaurs are so big that when the resources get scarce, they're not adaptable anymore, kind of thing. So festivals are the same way. Soundwave, I think, has had trouble, and Cornerstone eventually petered out. And almost every other festival that at one point did well eventually does go away. So
Might be part of the life cycle.
I guess festivals in general are really tough to run. I mean, they just don't. It depends on a lot of people being there, and if that doesn't happen, everybody's screwed. Everybody.
Well, and it's harder on these festivals because we do Christian festivals sometimes, and this is not a Christian festival, which is nice because whenever you do a non-Christian festival, it's actually typically way cooler. However, those Christian festivals often are funded by churches and stuff, so sometimes they actually do have more money anyway. So here's a general market festival where we have a small guarantee anyway that we're not worth, and then the fans can't come. So it's, to me, the conclusion is we just shouldn't even be there. If it's something that we're not worth, we don't need to try to force it or something like that. I don't really know.
Dave, are you glad that you came?
Yeah.
Because why? Because
it's
fun?
Yeah, it's fun.
Are you going to tell your wife that you didn't get paid?
No, that's what I was thinking.
Mic in your face.
No, I might tell her, but I was thinking that should be something we put on our manager and agent as well for the future. If we don't get paid or don't get our money, they also have to let our wives and...
No, they have to call...
It's on them.
Like that.
Yeah, if our manager called Laura and let her know. That way when she...
Let's go, hey, really sorry, Laura.
But still,
I think they should have to call their own wives and like say they're bitches and they hate their own wives and stuff, like really hurt their own family.
But wouldn't Laura be pissed that you wouldn't tell her and you made our manager call her?
Well, they'd have to smooth that over too. They'd make it
That's their job.
Yeah, they have to smooth it over. They have to take the blame. They have to go into full detail. So then when Laura calls me... later, and I talked to her. She didn't have any questions for me. It's like, yeah, sorry about that. It sucks.
That's a good idea. And at least make them feel the pain a little bit.
Let them work a little bit.
No, because our wives are super nice. They go, it's okay. Don't even worry about it. But then
they still give you.
She gets off the phone, she'll say, Dave, I can't believe that you did that.
No, but
and it'll be terrible.
It will be, but they'll still go into all the detail about why it happened. They have to explain why it happened.
Because
your
wife will say, yeah, that's right.
Bridget will say,
well, why didn't you make them pay you?
Yeah. Any question they'd ask you after the fact.
Well, why didn't you? I tell you what I would have done, or you should have told him this.
They would never talk to your manager or booking agent like that.
No, they wouldn't. Yeah, that's right. The manager would tell them those points before the fact, just saying, hey, because they would just go along with it and say, oh, no problem. But they would be forced to say, explain everything in detail, regardless of our wife's reaction.
I want a contract, and it says no matter what, like if, like in this situation, we get somebody's TV, like one of the managers or booking agents, their HD TV or their sound system, maybe an amp with some speakers. You know, I get their car for 6 months. Something that they feel the pain. I'm so mad I can't even talk right now. I'm just hurt.
I think it's more at least it was fun.
At least it was fun.
Yeah.
And today, we got an off day. What are we going to do the rest of the day?
It'll be great.
Go to Chili's, watch some basketball. I mean, I have to admit, this is probably the best possible bad job situation.
Yeah,
that's true.
You get to be with your friends and... away from the old family and go to Chili's. Probably going to eat carbs tonight.
What would you rather?
Drink some beer.
Would you rather, like, we did something really badass and just got, like, the festival didn't pay us? Like, would you feel better right now if you at least did that? Like, how bad would you feel? Like, how bad would I feel if I would have, like, pulled down my pants and mooned the crowd or was like, fuck y'all, I hate you. Y'all are so stupid. Or, you know, like, I would have threw a beer bottle, hit somebody in the head or something, and we'd, like, the festival's like, we're not paying you. You're terrible. Would y'all feel better?
If we had a reason not to get paid?
Yeah, yeah. Like, if there was at least a reason, like, well, we really screwed up. We should not have done that. Like, at least you'd have a story.
No.
Our story now is, we couldn't.
We're stupid.
We couldn't convince
them. Is our story now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
At least when we found out we weren't getting paid, we should have destroyed everything.
Well, that's what I thought about. I was like, I was thinking, well, I could tell him, it's like, well, we're going to go grab one of the nice lights or one of the sound monitor board and throw it in our van and take off.
That
would have just screwed over the sound production company, of course. It'd be stealing. I was trying to think, what could I do to get my, could I grab the guy's laptop, the promoter's laptop in front of me and run off with it? But of course, none of that makes any sense. But
that would have been so funny.
Crossed my mind.
If y'all would have threatened that and then y'all took off and y'all were like grabbing like expensive speakers and stuff like that. And the story was like, man, it was crazy. Emory, they went and they grabbed all this stuff. And then I think I saw the lead singer over by the food cart just like grabbing shitloads of hot dogs and bear claws.
If I came running out of the promoter tent, they get this out, grab the monitor board.
The problem is we have literally no place to put it.
We don't have any place to put it. Can't fly home with it.
Yeah.
So what about? So what should
be
worse?
Craigslist in Mission, Texas. Yeah.
In a sense, though, would this be better to not get paid for this, but at least we're out here versus you're at home on a regular job and then you just don't
get wife and kids
and you just don't get a paycheck though. That at least this is better than that. Like, if you worked all week at Subway, and then the boss looked at you in the week and said, sorry.
Yeah, but there's a chance that's we worse. Might be actually paying out of pocket to be here.
That's true.
Like, I mean, that's what really sucks is, like, I mean, if I can at least break even, I can, you know, I can be, okay, well, Jess, that was a, it didn't work out, but I didn't lose any money for our family.
Yeah, and the Deftones.
In this instance, there's a great chance that I'm losing money for our family.
Yeah.
Which is just devastating when you don't have any money at all. So I'm losing money for my family that we don't have.
Right. Well,
but hey, at least I'm on this podcast.
At least we can
that's
go
cool
to
Chili's.
Are we going to Chili's, though? What are we eating for supper?
We'll probably go to Chili's.
I want to go to TGI Fridays with all you can eat apps. Unlimited. What is it? Unstoppable apps.
They have unlimited appetizers at TGI Fridays. Like, bottomless.
Right. We each get one. The problem is the keto diet that I'm doing, it didn't make me feel good. Yeah. Last night we did a bunch of apps at Applebee's, and I literally ate out of, like, anger and hurt. And so I woke up like, it's like a walk of shame this morning to the treadmill. It really was sad, and I just ate that way because of the festival. Not only did the festival steal my money, they stole my pride and my foods. Yeah. They stole my pride and my body and my health. I mean, I'm 39 years old. I'll be 40 here soon, and they stole everything that I have.
Well, there is one positive from the fest I wanted to say to tell all you guys that when during Walls I saw Chino out in the pit just going
yeah Chino was
shit.
Going off was during Walls off. In the pit I
oh yeah that was
that.
Really Walls. Cool
that was tight
that did make that, it
that
worth
made it.
It
all worth so. It no yep I agree all right folks well that's it that's where we are we're gonna be at our place in Dallas soon time to find another hotel room
my dad our families were right we should have never been in a band we blew it we made the wrong decision.
This is one of those times when everybody that was against us was right.
This will be hilarious to try and explain this to my dad, because my dad does not understand being in a band anyway, as it makes a living. So this would seem right to him.
Of course. What do you? Why would you? You flew all the way to Texas. You thought they were going to pay you $5,000 to do
what
that?
What in the world would they pay you $5,000 for? Pay me $5,000. What are you talking about? It's exactly what my dad would say. So to him, this is normal. This is the right thing that happened.
All right, folks, that's where we are. Talk to y'all soon.
Day rate.
Peace.
Yeah.
Hey, this is Chris Swinney, formerly of the Ataris and currently host of That One Time on Tour, part of the Sound Talent Media Podcast Network. Have you ever wondered what it's really like on the road? The highs can be euphoric, but the lows can be crushing. Join me every week as I chat with industry pros about what it's like living out their wildest dream and, in some cases, their worst nightmare. Past guests of the show include members of NoFX, Pennywise, Bad Religion, and more. Listen and subscribe at soundtalentmedia.com.
Ever heard of Stoicism? Chances are, if you have, you've heard of Stoicism with a lowercase s and not Stoicism with an uppercase s. Lone wolves, no emotions, antisocial behavior, cold indifference, all that is Stoicism with a lowercase s. Stoicism with an uppercase s is the ancient Greek philosophy and virtue ethics framework that centers on service to the cosmopolis, to include your family, friends, community, and planet, and the development of a good moral character. My name is Tanner Campbell, and I'm the host of Practical Stoicism, a 3 times a week podcast teaching Stoic principles and concepts to anyone interested through the exploration of texts and deep dives into various moral topics. You can find Practical Stoicism where you're already listening to podcasts by searching for Practical Stoicism or by going to stoicismpod.com. I invite you to give it a listen today. You just might like it.